How many of you have ever dreamed before? I hope I'm not the only one in the room. That, like, if you won the lottery or received an inheritance, or basically you begin to think without limitation. Like, what would you do if there wasn't a limitation? Whether it's finances, time, all of those things. Am I the only one that's ever thought about that? Raise your hand if you thought, okay, that just was for me. That makes me feel better. Thank you. Man, now imagine being in a season of time where the greatest outpouring that you've ever seen is taking place. How would you reorient your life? How would you spend your time? What would time with the Lord be like? What are some of your hopes and dreams in that environment? I just feel a grace this morning from the Lord for an exchange. The picture I got in my mind of the exchange is who's been to the bank before and they've put their little deposit thing in the tube and it goes up? Yeah? Okay, cool. So we're like, what? Who banks? No, never mind. We'll leave that alone. Okay, so there's a grace this morning to exchange things going on in your life. Even I was feeling like the Lord was even going to exchange some of the ways that you think. He's going to give you... I don't understand how it's going to happen, but it's literally just grace. He's going to do something different. I felt like the Lord was present in the room this morning, not only to begin to help you shift and change in your life, but he's going to bring change and thought process transformation supernaturally. Could anybody use some of that? Good. So let's step into this together. Some of you may need to like stand up and get ready to step in the tube. Come on, we're pushing the button and we're getting ready to, we're doing a trade. Listen, this is prophetic partnership with the Lord. We're stepping into something. Come on, we're made for encounters. We are spiritual people. We know this. There's such a grace this morning to step into this. So, Lord, we thank you. I'm just going to step back and step in. Thank you, Jesus. We step in. Come on, some of you need to see yourself pushing the button, or you need to slide the back hatch down. And 3, 2, 1, fire. Come on. Boom. Let's go. Father, we thank you for a transformation of our mind. We thank you, Lord, for a transformation of our heart. Even as Alexander was this morning talking about deliverance, attachments, there's things like there are attached, there are things that cannot go with you in this season in your life. They are incompatible with who God has made you to be.
Amen.
So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are setting us free. We thank you, Lord, for this grace exchange to be transformed into the likeness of Jesus. And we thank you that that is our portion. You've made that for us. It's your good pleasure to give us that. So we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Some of you just need to even like, if there's been things that have been on your mind, you've been just like they're repetitious and you can't not think about them. I would encourage you right now to take them off and to set them before you. It's an exchange time.
Amen. Yes.
So Lord, we thank you. Father, if there's been depression or hopelessness, or if we've just been on our own track, we've just been on our own place. We've just been running hard. You've just been going. And you don't feel connected to what the Lord is doing. This is an exchange time for you. So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for grace. We thank you, Lord. I even feel like, I just want to say this. I even feel like this is an ongoing grace, meaning you can't miss this moment. Like if you don't know what to do right now, like there's an ongoing grace for you to begin to exchange with the Lord. He's opening up something to you. He's saying, I'm going to show you, and then I want you to take it off and lay it down before me and step into what I'm calling you to do. Some of you have prophetic words over your life that he's activating right now. And they're dormant, you haven't thought about them, and he's bringing them back to memory. He's prophesying life over you again. Not that he ever stopped. Not that he ever stopped. But he's awakening you. Come awake, come awake, come awake.
God is getting ready to do an exchange, an upgrade. He says, get ready for an upgrade. It's like in the Bible, it says that, you know, go and dig ditches because it's going to rain. It's going to rain. But God is saying, get your D5 or whatever those big machines are. Get your excavators. Dig a, not ditches, dig a lake, build a dam. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. And he's given us an upgrade to get ready for that great outpouring that's coming. Amen.
So when Josh was just talking about God's bringing you into a new place, and there's things that don't belong in that place that may be in your life. It's an interesting thing because this last week, I went to a conference up in Spokane, Washington. And one of the things they talked about was the scripture that talks about the rain falls on the just and the unjust. But the thing to remember is that's not just the unjust of other people that are unjust and you are just, but it's the stuff inside of you that's just and unjust. And God needs to burn away the unjust stuff that's inside of us so that he can then bring in the just stuff that we need to do.
That's right. Amen.
So, Father, we ask for that even right now. Lord, we ask that you would take all the things that don't belong in our lives and you would burn them away. You would cause them to go, Lord God. And Father, we ask that you would then bring in the things that you need to do in our lives. The places we need to go that you are directing us. The things that we need to say. The places we need to reach out to. And even the people we need to reach out to. But first, Lord, take those things that don't belong. Take them away. Let us be holy and just before you by the power and the spirit of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name.
Veronica talked about the digging of the ditches. That's the story in the Old Testament where Elisha told the king, if you want victory over your enemy, get out there and dig ditches. He didn't know why, okay, because he didn't even have water. He didn't have provision for his troops. But he dug the ditches. God filled the ditches with water. And then he used a supernatural act to cause the enemy to think that the army was defeated, and they came in and the army was ready for them and they had a great victory. So we want a victory in our world. We want a victory over the enemy. So digging ditches, in spiritual ditches in our lives for God's overflow of water that will become pouring into those ditches will be for a victory over our enemies.
Amen. Thank you. Yeah. So what I'm hearing is discernment. The Lord is releasing discernment for you to be able to see things that are in your heart, things that the Lord, things in your heart, like as Bob was saying, that are just and unjust, which means that you are going to have to be able to see. So why don't we put our hands out in front of us? Let's activate this morning. Father, we thank you that you have given us spiritual eyes to see. You've given us ears to hear. And we thank you, Jesus, that you are giving us grace to step into new places for upgrades, for upgrades, for upgrades, to hear your voice. And we thank you that we are exchanging the parts, that as you give us the ability to see, we're exchanging them. We're giving them to you. And you make beautiful things. Just begin to just say that over your life. He makes beautiful things. He makes beautiful things. Come on, he can make beautiful things with your life. So we just thank you, Jesus. We just thank you, Jesus. Beauty for ashes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So good. So good. Should we just stay and do this all morning? Should we just stay? Should we just won't go home? Come on, his presence is so good. Why don't you bless someone around you? Give them a hug or a high five. Release the presence. Release joy. Come on. Release the grace that's present in the room. So good. Come on. Jesus. Jesus is such an amazing leader. And our worship team is awesome at following his presence, staying in his presence. So I love you guys. Thank you so much for that. That was awesome. I said, imagine if amazing things were happening, revival was starting to break out, the largest outpouring that you've ever seen in your lifetime was taking place. I believe we're in that season. I don't know if you've heard, I'm just recapping some news and some things that I've heard. I have some friends that live in the Asbury area and have been sharing updates and stuff with us since it was like hour six. They're like, they're not going home. This is revival, you know, and you're like, hour six, this is wild. You guys were calling it revival at hour six. Praise God. That's the gift of discernment. So it's been fun to sort of track this, but we have, there's like at least 20 different colleges, and then there are tons of churches, there are outpourings. I don't know if any of you have seen. Yeah, you can clap your hand for that. That's amazing. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know, there's been a few pictures going around that there are sanctuaries before people even show up, and there's like this mist, this smoke, the fog of his presence, and so we're living in a very unique time right now, and so I just want to encourage you, if you've not heard this yet, that I'm making sure that you have, okay? And we're seeing radical things happen in the Gen Z generation, which is so good. Come on, who's thankful to see Gen Z encounter the Lord? We're also seeing just this unique and incredible thing about this movie that Jeff was talking about being dropped right in the midst of this. Like, this is like this is like Holy Spirit timing. Like, come on, it's just things are moving. So, what I wanted to mention is I feel like the Lord's doing something in the area of finance. So you guys are like, yes, yes, finances. So if any of you need a financial miracle and you know it, some of you need a financial miracle and you don't know it. This is what happens when the Lord begins to rearrange stuff in your heart and he begins to go, I don't want you to dream what you dream. I want you to dream what I dream. And you're going to need a much bigger heart space, head space, and financial blessing to carry this thing, okay? So I want you to get, you can get a purse or a wallet or your checkbook or whatever it is, or just your hand in faith, and we're just going to lift this to the Lord. I just feel like there needs to be a radical increase in the area of our finance. And it obviously, we want to be a mighty rushing river for the kingdom. to be able to release resources. So let's say this together. As we receive today's offering, we are believing the Lord for jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, benefit sales and commissions, favorable settlements, estates and inheritance, interest and income, rebates and returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, finding money, debts paid off, expenses and decrease, blessing and increase. Thank you, Lord, for meeting all of my financial needs that I may have more than enough to give into the kingdom of God and promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Come on. Expansion. Make way in your heart. It's time to get the bulldozers out. You got to start plowing the land, okay? And that land may just be your heart. Come on. So good. All right, come on up. Why don't we bless Jeff this morning as he comes up to deliver the word.
Amen. Now, I know I asked, can we pray, and God bless all your souls. Nobody shouts out, no. I don't know what I would do if that happened other than probably bind and rebuke you. In the name of Jesus, I command you to be silent. The answer is always yes. So join with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for this moment. We thank you for where you've brought us. We thank you for what you're doing. Father, I pray that even now as the announcement goes out to consider getting into the correctional center up there to minister to these boys, that Father, that there would be a stirring in our heart if that's something we're to do. And if not, then Lord, that other power group that we'll announce in a few weeks, Lord, prepare my heart to begin to go after building relationships that are invitations for others, not just in the body of Christ, but Lord, those that you're wooing and calling by name to come into the kingdom. Lord, that we'd be a people who say, send us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Open your Bibles to Ephesians. And if you were not here the last few weeks, God bless you wherever he had you on assignment. And I hope you were on assignment for not being here. But Pastor Mike laid some groundwork. And it started off with looking at the reality of the earthquake in Turkey and the unfortunate circumstance over there. We've been in a series in the book of Ephesians, and I just want to give you just a quick review. If you weren't with us, you automatically passed the test, okay? So just know that. But we started Ephesians 2 a few weeks ago, and I gave you three words. And those three words were stewardship, discipleship, and leadership. And really, I built them as a pyramid, but really a better picture, if I could illustrate this on the screen, would be that they're more circular, right? Because we're always stewarding, and we're always discipling, and we're always leading. And some of you are leading, and you don't even realize you're leading. Some of you need to lead better because you are leading, and God's got a call on your life. Others of you need to get equipped to understand the significance of what you've been called to. But in a sense of just trying to emphasize significance, stewardship is where it all begins. Learning to steward and understand what God has imparted in your life, what he wants to displace and move. You know, as the words were shared this morning and as we are in worship, again, the worship this morning had a lot of stewardship involved. Assessing, looking at, examining, asking Holy Spirit to expose, to reveal. Now, what some of you need in the revelation of what he's exposing this morning, whether it's mindsets, demonic oppression, awakenings, alert, is maybe some discipleship. So in the awareness of what God is doing, we then step into how do we then deal with it? And we deal with it in relationship. We deal with it first in relationship with God, because no work by your effort is going to set you free. I don't care how disciplined you think you are. I don't care how many boundaries you set up. The reality is, unless the Spirit of God is involved, unless the Word of God is placed in that issue on top of that thing to displace it and cause it never to come back, it'll only just be a line that you draw and can erase. And you have control over it. And what God wants is control over it. And so we need to put ourselves in discipleship. But anything we get set free from, any revelation and understanding we come into, we are now empowered to lead others in it. That's why time and time again throughout the scriptures, we can see Jesus step into a situation and deliver someone and immediately release them to go help others. And yet, what do in church? We see someone delivered, and we ask that they give us the next 10 years of their life trying to show up on a Sunday morning, sit quietly, don't ask questions, don't make a disruptance, don't challenge the authority, and somehow we call that Christianity. When in reality is, if you're sitting here today and God gave you a word during worship about a thing he wants to deal with in your life, and you give him permission, you make room for him to dislodge that, dismantle that, remove that, and he begins to show himself faithful in that work, and you're starting to grow and do this great exchange of going through the tube, and then some banker, you know, taking care of you and sending you back out different, you have been called to lead in that area. Now, it might be small, but we don't despise small beginnings. We don't dismiss the reality that sitting here this morning, I'm recognizing that, Lord, there is a great preparation that you have been doing in this church that we just need to stop and just say thank you. I mean, we pastor well, I believe. We steward well. We've been trying to disciple better. We've got good leadership. But Lord, as I saw it this morning, I realized, oh my gosh, thank you. Thank you for the preparation. Thank you for the attentiveness. Thank you for the faithfulness of all of you in attendance and those following online and those that aren't here this morning but are usually a part of us. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And not thank you from my heart. Thank you, I think, is coming from the heart of the Father. A thankfulness that says, yes, I see a people who want to do what I've asked them to do. I see a people who are willing to apprehend what I've called them to apprehend. And I'm here just to validate that and confirm that. And when we get to that place of responding, guess what? We're leading. But oftentimes, that leadership and that discipleship begins to wane or begins to fall off track, or we lose hope, or we get discouraged, or we have a conflict. And what we fail to do is come back and steward. We fail to come back and just look at again, Lord, what did you call me to? What did you ask of me? Lord, what is it that you've promised? Lord, why does it look different than what I expected? Lord, I didn't think that this is where we would be. So help me just understand. Make me aware of what you're doing in the room. Make me aware of what you're doing in my life. Make me aware of what's going on. What is it that you've prepared me for? And here's the beautiful thing in all of this. As well as you and I may commit or learn to steward, there is this mystery. There is this mystery that has to always be part of our relationship. Because if you're waiting to understand everything before you move into discipleship or leadership, guess what? You'll be waiting a really long time. And maybe some of you have, and my heart grieves if that's true. So let's stop waiting. Let's steward what we've been given. Let's take what we know. And in the context of faith, hope, and love, you know, if you're looking for filters, how do we move from stewardship into discipleship? Faith, hope, and love. How do we move from discipleship into leadership? Faith, hope, and love. Things that we've built this church on. Things that we've preached and contend and believe in. How do we move? We move through faith, hope, and love. Let those be your filters. If you're questioning, Lord, I see this in my life. What's the next step? Look through the lens of faith, hope, and love, and the answers will begin to unfold themselves. But there's got to be this place of mystery. And one of the things that we find in the book of Ephesians and what I laid out for you a few weeks ago as we started the book of Ephesians is that there's this place of relationship that if we will take an account of where we're at, we are better equipped than to adjust or step into. Which then brought us into the second part of Ephesians 2, which Pastor Mike hit on 3 weeks ago. And he went after the labels, right? Because that's what Paul goes after. And what he's saying is, as you steward the revelation in Ephesians 2 of the difference between death and life, you are all dead, but by the grace of God, right? And Pastor Mike looked at how Paul pulled apart the nature of labels. Listen, uncircumcised, circumcised. The distinction that was being made in the body of Christ, Gentiles and Jews, like none of that exists in the Father's eyes. And so we shouldn't let it exist. And so we need to steward the labels that are in our life, and we need to get rid of the label makers that aren't bringing out the righteousness of God. Now, if you want to look at a brother or sister in Christ and call them righteous, then that's a great label. If you want to call them holy, then that's a label that's from the Lord. And it's a label that comes by the Spirit of God and the Word of God, not out of the flesh of man or the self-righteousness And some of you are living under labels that the people who labeled you aren't even alive anymore. And yet they have power over you. They have control over you. And what God is asking you today is, let's steward that and realize that's got to go. So how do you go? You move into discipleship and you begin to train in the Spirit. You begin to put other people in your life that hold you accountable, that come out and say, hey, listen, that is not what I see. That is not what the Lord sees. So don't let yourself be limited. I had this interesting conversation with Jacqueline a couple days ago. You know, I feel discouraged by some of the mistakes I've made. You know, I didn't vacuum, or I didn't get to the dishes and stuff like that. And her posture is so amazing. She's like, it's okay. Just get it done. And there's a part of me that then moves into this like, oh, I'm so sorry. I shouldn't do that. And she's like, why? Why are you doing that? Why do you go there? And it dawned on me. It's like, if I feel bad about myself, then maybe you'll feel bad for me too. And that's really what I'm looking for. You know, I know I didn't do the dishes, and now you're just telling me, just get them done. Yeah, but I want to feel bad about myself, and it'd be really good if you felt bad for me. And then it's like her question is, well, what does that look like, Jeff? I don't know, scold me. You know, you worthless person, why didn't you do the dishes? And then it's like, is that really what you want said over your life, Jeff? And then Jacqueline's position is like, I'm not about to say that, so you better find someone else. And you know what? There are others who will say that. And what happens is we start to gravitate towards those. We start to gravitate towards the voice of the enemy that recognizes what we're wanting. And then I have to realize, like, I don't really want that. I just want to take responsibility and go, hey, babe, you know what? I'm sorry, I didn't get to the dishes. I didn't get the countertops cleaned. I know I said I would. Thank you for being so graceful. Let's move on. I'll get them done. And why can't it be that simple? Why is it that we go through the mix of like, well, maybe if I beat myself up, that'll make my mistake justifiable. Or maybe if I beat myself up, somebody will have pity on me and that'll help me somehow feel better. And that's just like, do you know how time consuming that is? Jacqueline's little phrase to me all the time is, you know, Jeff, whose team are you on? Are you on God's team or the devil's team? Because right now it looks like you're playing for the devil. And I'm like, no, I'm on God's team. Well, then play like you are. And it's that simple, right? I mean, we just need people in our life, and praise God for a spouse that's able to do that. Now, I never have to do that for her because she's like perfect and always right on. Amen? Yes, so true. So Mike gave us, he took us, yeah, preach it. Amen. 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 So Mike took us into Matthew 24 the last 2 weeks in the context of using Turkey and the earthquake over there, and really in the context of what I believe is in Ephesians. And he gave us three warnings. Do you remember what those three warnings were before they go up on the screen? Deception was the first one. Faith and love, right? So Jesus breaks this down in Matthew 24, and Mike unpacked this in incredible revelation and gave us insight. And what I want to do this morning is I want to go back into Ephesians 2 with an understanding that Paul is equipping the church in Ephesus. He's equipping us through his letter to understand how to do this, how to avoid and recognize deception, how to navigate this issue of faith and not fall away, and how to avoid the lawlessness which leads to many losing their love. And again, it's a stewardship issue. So if you jump with me into Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to look at verse 18 to 22 this morning. And it goes like this. I think it'll be on your screen. It says, "For through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father." Oh, that's verse 18. Verse 19. "So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household." So pause right there. How do we avoid deception? How do we avoid our faith from going cold or our love waning? We know where we belong. We belong in the household of God. That we are by one spirit no longer strangers and aliens. And so Pastor Mike talked about, be aware of the isolation effect, right? Isolating, withdrawing. And Paul's saying here, know who you are. You are no longer strangers and aliens, all these labels. But you are fellow citizens with the saints who are of God's household. Verse 20, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord. Amen. Verse 22, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. So there's this reality that you and I have to apprehend, and it contends against the flesh every single day, is that we are being fitted together. And part of that fitting requires allowing adjustments and having the grace of God be present so that adjustments can be made. Adjustments in our life, but also adjustments in the others. And so I walk into the room, I realize, oh, I forgot to do the dishes. Jacqueline and I are being fitted together all the time, continuously. Her grace reminds me I have a responsibility. My willingness to take on that responsibility is a matter of adjusting. When you come to church on Sunday and they don't greet you the way you feel you need to be greeted, or they don't recognize you, or you see others handshaking others but not you, there's this fitting together. And so you may recognize it's not happening in your life, but what are you doing about your life? So somebody didn't greet you. Did you greet anybody? Are you making an effort to get up and get out and go shake a hand, find someone new? Now, I hope if you're new here or you're a regular attender that you're getting greeted and you're being loved on. That's something that's valuable to us. But if we just so happen to miss you this morning and you feel this judgment or this offense of like nobody sees me, you have to know that Jesus and the Spirit of God is at work to make adjustments so that you fit together. Now, that doesn't mean everybody's going to go to Echo Hills, because the context here isn't about a local church. It's about the kingdom of God in his people. So when you meet another born-again believer in the grocery store, you might find out, oh, they're a Baptist. They probably don't speak in tongues. And you make a judgment of them. In that moment, God is wanting access to fit you together and realize it's not about speaking in tongues. And that's not even a loving posture, so he might even need to make some adjustments going, hey, where's the love? Why the label, right? This is the context that we're in. And so we come to this place where we recognize that death and life are always in proximity of each other. Though we are maybe, if you're here this morning and you're born again believer, you are no longer spiritually dead. But I loved what was said earlier, that there is this place of just and unjust in us that is constantly being worked out. Right? It's the working out of our salvation with fear and trembling. And so there's this place where death and life are always in proximity of each other, where we have a born-again life in Christ, an eternal life, while at the same time the Holy Spirit is rooting out the habits of the old nature. And a great illustration is in this picture. The highest mountain peak in the continental U.S. is what? Anybody know? Continental U.S., sorry, down in the lower 48. It is the continental U.S. up north. But down in the lower 48, Mount Whitney. So here's a picture, Mount Whitney. Mount Whitney sits at 14,500 and plus feet. But it also sits in the Sierra Nevada range. I thought I had a picture. It's the first picture. Okay, thank you. So this is a view from Death Valley. Looking towards a little mountain clump and some snow right underneath it. That's Mount Whitney's hidden there, little over 110 miles away. So the highest peak in the lower continental 48 states, to clarify, sits at the heels or the footsteps of the lowest point in the lower 48 continental states, and that's Death Valley. And from Mount Whitney, you can look down into Death Valley. From Death Valley, you can look up into Mount Whitney. 100 miles, that's really not that far. It's a great expanse, it's easy visible. But death and life are sitting in the same proximity. Highest and lowest sitting in the same proximity, looking at each other. You and I have been called out of Death Valley, and we are now in journey and in pursuit to get up to Mount Whitney, to the top. To stand in such a posture that we can look back at our death. We can look back at our life. We can testify of it. We can recognize the habits and the characters and the reality of what it was like to dwell there. But our posture shouldn't be to live there anymore. It shouldn't be to desire it anymore. It should be to sit on the mountaintop and be able to look down on it. What we also know is that this great mountain range, when erected by the moving of the continental shift and all of that, had literally created a barrier where the rain gets dumped on one side and Death Valley becomes the driest, hottest place. There's a rain falling. We were singing about it this morning. There's something that God is doing where he's watering and he's raining. And he's wanting us to sprout and start to grow in such a manner that we're not going to grow down in our death valleys. We were to leave those places. And some of us are still carrying them. If somebody offended you, leave it in Death Valley. If somebody wounded you, leave it in Death Valley. How do we leave it there? We steward forgiveness. We steward an understanding of the Spirit, untangling, detaching, making sure that we don't hold any malice or bitterness towards those things. And we move towards the mountain. We move up the mountain. We come into this place where worship and praise and the Word of God is accentuated. We get into a different atmosphere. We get into a different climate. We get into a different temperature range. Things are different on the mountain of life, the eternal state, the being one with Christ, than it is in the Death Valley. And what Paul is showing us here is that there are specific characteristics, specific measuring tools that will determine what can go up the mountain and what can't go up the mountain with us. And what he says here is that we are a part of the body, that we have been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And if you don't know what that means, here's a simple explanation. What Paul is saying to those who are coming into Christ and what he's saying to us is, listen, what we're preaching isn't something new. It's actually existed since the beginning of time. And apostles and prophets have been proclaiming it. Apostles, if you don't know the terminology, literally are, they're the messengers who are communicating domain. So apostolic ministry has a kingdom mindset towards it. Apostolic ministry is concerned about the domain of a territory. I'm a little bit more apostolic than I am pastoral. Pastor Mike is an incredible pastor. Now that doesn't mean one is better than the other. It just means there's a way in which we walk into situations and things start to click for us. Now, I have a responsibility to have an understanding of how to pastor better. Pastor Mike has an incredible understanding of how the apostolic ministry works. But the nature of when we first look at a situation, I'll tend to begin to strategize and see things. How do we establish domain? Who's occupying domain? What needs to go? What needs to happen? What needs to shift and change? It's just the way I begin to see it. When it comes to the Word of God, the apostolic ministry is the establishment of the Word in a situation, the establishment of a word in a people group, the establishment of the promises of God to his people and from his people. The prophetic ministry are the messengers of God who speak on behalf of God. So throughout the Old Testament, we see messengers of God, prophetic people of God, people who have heard the word of God declaring to the people of God. Now, just know this. I had an interesting discussion with the Carry the Love team because they wanted to know, I read in the Old Testament that there were other people that prophesied, but they didn't prophesy God. I thought prophets were just of God. Absolutely not. The word prophet just simply means messenger of. So the prophets of Baal prophesied or brought messages of demonic occupation and demonic rule. There's this place where the prophets stand before the people and declare the word of God. Now what's shifted as the Spirit of God has indwelt us is now that all of us are called to proclaim the word of God to all people. Now, some of you might not put prophecy in that context, but when you begin to tell people of the love of God, when you begin to encourage people about the ways of God, when you begin to prophesy or speak the word of God, you are bringing the kingdom of God near them. And so when it says that the foundation of the church is built upon the prophets and apostles, what it's not excluding are evangelists, pastors, and teachers. What it's saying is that the gift mix of apostles and prophets are all about establishing and building. Where evangelists are going to start to gather. They're going to start to call and bring in. Where pastors are going to nurture and bring care. Where teachers are going to equip. And so they're not excluded. They're simply not identified in the foundation. So you and I have built a church around an ideology that says the pastor is the head of the church. Now we know, and we could probably say Jesus is the head of the church, which would be true, but we still look to a title that says pastor, when in reality, what you should see is apostles and prophets, and I'm not looking at labels, I'm talking about gift mix. I'm talking about individuals who have committed and postured themselves in such a manner that the gospel message needs to go out. The equipping of the saints needs to be mobilized. And that happens when apostles and prophets begin to recognize how to steward a domain. So how do we avoid deception? We come back to the ministry of apostles and prophets. We come back to what did the apostles and prophets say, Old Testament, New Testament, and even today. What are the prophets saying? Old Testament prophets, New Testament prophets, and prophets today. We want to be sensitive to that. Because when we're not, what we fall back into is following a label or an individual who's trying to fit themselves into a category that might be necessary for a few, but if it's about the foundation of the church, then a lot are going to be left out. Because the pastoral ministry, evangelistic ministry, teaching ministry, all has its place. But what are evangelists supposed to be proclaiming? The word of God that is established by apostles and prophets. What are pastors supposed to be pastoral caring about? What apostles and prophets established? The word of God, the preaching of the gospel. What are teachers supposed to be equipping in? What the apostles and prophets have established. So when we jump into Acts 2 and 3 and we begin to see the mobilization of the church in those early days, what did we see? We see the apostles and the disciples of Christ, they've devoted themselves to the teaching of the word, to prayer. They postured themselves in a way so that the foundation of the church would remain true. And what we're contending for here is not a hierarchy of pastor, evangelist, teacher, apostles, prophets, but a mutual submission that we see later in Ephesians 4 of what we call a fivefold ministry, where you have apostles partnered with prophets, partnered with evangelists, partnered with teachers and pastors, all working in collaboration. So our preaching team, you know, we're all very unique. And the goal isn't to go, well, who's the apostle? Who's the prophet? Who's the teacher? Where's the pastor? I mean, the labeling isn't the point. It's the gift mix, because here's the other thing that Paul says is, listen, I can be all things to all people. Whenever it's needed, the Spirit of God in me can make it available. So if I walk into a situation and I recognize that the domain of heaven is present, but pastoral care needs to be offered, I can't stop and go, well, I'm not a great pastor, so I'll leave that to someone else. Lord, I'm here and I'm here now. Help me understand how to bring pastoral care. If I'm sitting with a non-believer and recognizing they don't know the Lord, I can't go and look, hey, you know what? Who's the evangelist? You know, let me call Linda Haugen and let her come talk to this person and let that person wander away. No, I can sit there and I can preach the word. I can share the word. I can evangelize in such a manner that, again, we are no longer strangers and aliens, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. What is a cornerstone? So you have the ministry of apostles and prophets being established to set the tone of where the word goes. Jesus was, according to Hebrews, he was our high priest. But he was also the first apostle. He was the messenger to bring the gospel message. And what Paul is saying here is that Jesus is now a cornerstone. So he's using construction language. He's using language that, again, would make sense to the builders and the equippers and the stonemasons and individuals who understand that God is actually after fitting us together. And in order to fit together, you've got to chisel off some rough edges. You've got to straighten out some edges, but you have to have a standard. You have to have a measuring block. You have to have a ruler. And Jesus Christ is that standard. And he's pictured here as a cornerstone. So what is a cornerstone? It is a perfectly square block that is set first before anything else is set. And off of that cornerstone, everything else is built. And we're not talking like a little brick. I mean, we're talking huge blocks. I mean, we're talking huge carved, you know, limestone or granite. Something really immovable. Being established and set, and from the north and the south or the east and west, when you begin to draw the line off of that, it's been precisely chiseled and formed and fashioned so that everything else lines up. Everything else falls into alignment. Everything else is held to a standard. And what Paul is saying to us who are part of being fit together and an understanding that God is building something with you and I and through you and I, we have to come back to the standard of Jesus Christ. So when we feel like the Lord is chiseling a little thing away from us. And we might go, oh, Lord, that hurts. Don't take that from me. Why would you take that from me? That's not doing any harm. What we have to realize is that the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the chief cornerstone, is the standard. And that which he's chiseling away isn't lining up with who he is. And that's established through the preaching of the word from apostles and prophets. It's established through the gathering of the saints in pastoral care. The evangelism for those new ones to come in, and the teaching and equipping and discipling of the saints. And again, when Paul's addressing this, he's acknowledging that there is this process, that you and I are in process. And to ever stop and think that I've arrived again is to immediately call upon the Spirit of the Lord's going to apprehend that thought immediately. And he's going to bring his chisel and say, no, you have not, and let me remind you, and just go to work. Because we are being built into this whole building. You and I are being fashioned into something. We are being fitted together. It is growing into a holy temple of the Lord. See, God moved from a physical temple in the Old Testament. It was a prophetic picture of what he ultimately wanted. David captured a glimpse of it. When David brings the ark back into Jerusalem, and he had to go through some work and learn some things in the process. Some of you know that story. But when he finally gets it back, he defies the law of how God ordained worship or access to the temple. Because David actually apprehended something of the future prophetically, and apostolically he established it by surrounding the Ark of the Covenant with 24/7 worship, without the separation of the veils and all of that. Built on the apostles and prophets. Some of you sitting here today, I know this about you. You have a very strong prophetic seer gift. You can see things in the future. And the hard part sometimes in the structure of the church, in the structure of a Sunday service, is that what I'm seeing doesn't seem to fit here. And can I encourage you by simply saying, it probably doesn't. It probably doesn't fit here. And so if you're carrying an angst of not being able to do what you see God showing you to do and it doesn't fit here, be at peace. Because this is limited. There's only so much we can do in this time. There's only so much that God wants to allow. There are people that don't go to this church anymore because they feel like they don't fit in. And what bothers me is I don't often get the chance to ask them, well, what was it about fitting in that didn't work for you? And sometimes it's super simple, like I just didn't feel loved. Well, that's not a fitting in issue. That's a time issue. That's a relationship issue. That's a willingness issue. Others go, you know what? It's just way too crazy in there. You guys, like, there's chaos. I don't believe it's orderly. I don't believe God, like, he wants that kind of chaos. Well, you're right. We might be a little more free. We might be a little, you know, leaning towards, you know, the randomness of people coming up and sharing words. But we're also trying to lean towards, Lord, how do we take what we see in the future and make it available today? Because we're being fitted together. And we're trying to figure out what it looks like to fit together. And yet some of you who are prophetic and are seeing things, I'm asking for a grace. I'm asking for a grace in this season. I'm looking at Asbury Revival. I'm looking at the Jesus Revolution movie I watched yesterday. We're watching the North Georgia Community Church breakout and revival, all these other campuses. And there's a part of me as I listen to people that talked about how they went there. They you know, there's a big uproar right now because Asbury administration, you know, basically said, hey, we're going to limit these auditoriums to 16 to 25-year-olds. We literally can't handle, I don't know if you heard this week, but they can't handle the amount of people. The little town of Wilmore, where in Kentucky, where the whole school is, it's a little town of 6,000 people. A couple weekends ago, they had over 20,000 people descend upon that community. The toilets couldn't handle that many people. The water system couldn't handle that many people. And the pushback, if you go to the Asbury website, the university website, they have a great letter there from their president. And it's beautifully written, very well thought out, so spirit-filled. Because this question that he's being answered is, who are you to stop the revival? And he's like, I am not stopping a revival. No more then I started it. I can't take responsibility for stopping it or starting it, but what we are trying to do is steward it. And our campus can't facilitate the demand. And what he comes out and says, and what I loved, and as Jacqueline and I read that letter, is if we make it about a location, it will kill it. And it's like, oh my goodness, Lord, I pray this gets out everywhere. Because if you're coming here thinking that revival's in a location, then it's already on the downhill slide of death. And he's not saying don't come. He's just saying, hey, you're not getting in the building anymore. He's not saying that we're stopping it. If anything, he goes on to say, we're encouraging you to ask the Lord to do something in your place. What does it look like where you're at? And what others have talked about, and I will confess, I used to be this because I used to believe this. And maybe I still do, but I'm trying to be fitted together with you and the Lord and others, is, you know, I used to have this mindset of, man, if the faucet's on over there, I'm taking my cup and I'm getting under that faucet and I'm filling it and I'm bringing it back. But what I realized is that as I brought it back, like, it's empty. Like, I just drank it on the way. And I'm trying to pour out, like, hey, guys, I went to whatever church or whatever revival or whatever meeting and drop it. And the next time I'm thinking, well, now if I take 10 people with me, we'll have 10 barrels to fill because we're no longer messing with the Dixie cup. We'll go to this conference. We'll fill our barrels. We'll come back and pour it out. And listen, there's some truth to that. There's impartation. There's activation. We 100% believe that. Absolutely. We support the movement of that. But where we get lost sometimes is the thought that we have to go somewhere versus maybe just steward what God's doing here. Maybe this morning as Alexandria is singing out or Chad is singing out and the Lord puts something on your heart, you know, maybe it doesn't belong on the pulpit. Maybe it's not a microphone issue, but maybe it's a heart issue where, oh, Lord, right here and right now, there's awakening. I'm not going to be deceived. I'm not going to lose faith. I'm not going to lose love because we're being fitted together. We're being fitted together in such a manner that there's this picture that Paul, again, he gives us. And I just want to close with these three thoughts here. We share things in common with others in the body of Christ. Not everybody's going to attend Echo Hills. Will we fill this place? I sure hope so. Will we be able to send thousands of people from this place? I sure hope so. But if we come back and just look at what Paul is saying in Ephesians 2, as he closes Ephesians 2 and transitions into Ephesians 3, he gives us three things that we share in common with all believers. Is one, we share a common foundation. It's the foundation of the apostles and prophets. It's the preaching and proclaiming of the word of God. We share this common cornerstone, Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus is our cornerstone. It is the truth about him that you and I share, and we share a common goal. And that is to grow in holiness, to become a holy dwelling, a holy temple of the Lord. And what you and I have to learn how to navigate, especially in what I believe is happening right now, it's not going to happen, it is happening, is that men and women are being moved by the Spirit of God sovereignly or through invitation from you and I or others to start to get involved, to start to connect, is that we bring them back to what the Apostle Paul is saying here. There's a common foundation. We all need the apostles and prophets' word. The word of God, for those of you that carry an apostolic gift to see domain and deal with domain. Some of you who really enjoy spiritual warfare, not enjoy, but you know, you get spiritual warfare. The chances are that you are much more apostolically minded because you know the borders and you understand the value of guarding those borders. For some of you who are seers or dreamers or you just have utterances, prophetic. For those of you that again, have such a tender heart towards others who are in need, the brokenhearted, the need for them to know love, the physical touch. You know, a few weeks ago, Pastor Mike got up and said, just how many of you are here, not just for a service, but for an encounter? I mean, if you want to apprehend the pastoral grace that God wants to pour out on people, it's in those words. It's, listen, if you're here for more than a service, great. But if you're here for an encounter, then let's make it happen. Let's have it happen. We share this common goal that we are growing into holiness, which is going to mean Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, is going to have to do some shaving, is going to have to do some sanding. He's going to have to do some chiseling if you're a little harder. You know, he's going to have to get his chisel out and just scrape away some things. You know, if you're in a place where you need the jackhammer, call upon it. Lord, come and start to bust this stuff up, because it's holding me back. It's keeping me from. If you see it in someone else, this is where grace happens. If you see it in someone else, oh man, they just don't seem to fit with us. Maybe I'll call it out. You know, if you did this or you did that, you know, who's going to want to stay around if there's fingers pointed at them? But what would happen is we come back to, well, let's just preach the gospel. Let's present the apostolic prophetic word of the Lord. Let's find out what domain they're really living in. Let's find out what team they've decided to join today. The devil's team or God's team? Language matters. But what matters more is who you're talking to. Because if you don't know what language they speak, then it doesn't matter what language you speak. And so those we're trying to communicate to, those we're trying to reach, those we're sharing the gospel with, it requires us to first listen. What language are they speaking? What are they saying about themselves so that then I can speak the common foundation, the common cornerstone, the common goal? How can I work with them because I know we're being fitted together? And so this morning, I just want to invite the worship team up. And we're just going to close and just allow the Holy Spirit to send you out of here with an assurance that if you are born again, the distinction you made by giving your life to Christ was made off of Jesus Christ and all his work. Him being the cornerstone, him being the standard, him being the sacrificial lamb that overcame death, rose on the third day, is seated at the right hand of the Father. That whatever label you're carrying, if Jesus doesn't carry it, it's got to go. Whatever foundation somebody else tried to set you on or call you to build on or expects you to live on, if it's not Jesus Christ, if it hasn't been established by the apostles and prophets preaching the word of God, the truth of God, then let's get rid of that foundation. How many of you realize that oftentimes you have to dismantle something before you can begin to build it? Because, we're a new creation in Christ, but trust me, there's been a whole lot of other construction going on since the day you were born. Other people have been building on your life. You started building on your life. Demonic forces have built on your life. And so it's not that you get new construction territory. Some of you, if you read the paper, found out that house where those murders took place up in Moscow. They said the other day they're going to tear it down. It's probably the best thing to do, because who would want to be, you know, renting a place where, yeah, four people were murdered here. You know, sometimes you just need to dismantle. And that's sometimes a seasonal work. Sometimes it's a quick work. Sometimes it's not. But the stewardship of our life in the Spirit will awaken us to recognize, Lord, what needs to be dismantled in order for there to be a building? What are you building on? I don't know if you've ever walked into a situation or a scenario. You can start to play, where you know something's off. Like you can sense it. Maybe you can't put your finger on it. Maybe you feel it. Some of you may see it. Some of you may just like, I don't know what's going on. And you sit there trying to navigate, like, Lord, what are you doing? What's going on? And what you're getting the grace to see in that moment is where things just don't fit together. And you have a choice in that moment. You can either let it remain. Well, Lord, we just don't fit together. Or something's not fitting together. Those pieces aren't connecting. Or you can begin to ask the Spirit of God, Lord, you're at work trying to fit us together. So show me how to partner with you in this fitting together. If it's a label that's standing between us, show me how to get rid of it. If it's a wrong foundation, then show me how to remove it and get on the right foundation. If it's that other individual isn't having Jesus be their chief cornerstone, and you know that and you discern that and you know we're not fitting together, ask the Holy Spirit to give you insight into, Lord, how do we fit together? And listen, fitting together isn't always agreeing. Unity isn't agreement. Doesn't mean we have to agree. What it means is that we're committed to the common foundation, to the common cornerstone, to the one goal of being made a holy temple. First Peter, we didn't get into this, but he talks about that we are living stones being fitted together. You and I are living stones. And so would you stand with me as living stones today? If you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, I want to invite you to invite Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, the standard, the good news, the deliverer, the hope fulfiller, the beloved, to enter your life in such a manner that you recognize that those things that do not line up with him and his perfection are sin. And it keeps us separated from him. And so, Father, forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of those areas in my life that have not allowed you to do a work in me. I now invite you to be the cornerstone in my life. I now invite you to be the foundation upon which I build my life. I invite you, Jesus, to come by your Spirit and begin to do a work in me, to fit me together in the kingdom of God. To fit us together, Lord, as sons and daughters. To be united under one label, and that's Jesus is King. To come to a posture and a position, Lord, where again your glory is something we move in from glory to glory, because we allow the adjustments. We allow a fitting and a shaving and a trimming to take place. All unto perfection, Lord. Your glorious perfection, that we will receive new bodies that know no pain. There'll be a day when there's no more tears. There'll be a place when there's no more evil or separation. But until that day, Lord, we say we welcome the fitting us together part. Father, to those that are in this room that are seeing things in the future and don't feel like they fit today or have a place to fit, Father, give them a grace to recognize maybe it doesn't fit yet because you're at work doing other things, but let us not lose sight of what you've called us to. Father, for those that have moved on or just feel like they just don't fit in the kingdom of God and therefore they've isolated, they've retreated to their homes or to darkness, Father, call them out again. Send us to them. So that we can again address how do we fit together. Father, we thank you for this house and its leadership as we go after mutual submission and humility to see the fivefold ministry of apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers operate for the equipping of the saints, bringing us to that great and glorious day. Father, I pray that as we go out this week, as we invade our community, as we go after the workplace, as we bring the gospel, as we preach the gospel, as we declare that the kingdom has come near, that, Lord, we would see the evidence of your love. We'd see the power of the great exchange and transfer and transformation that's taking place right here and right now. Father, that we would watch boldness rise up within us. Boldness to preach the gospel. Boldness to ask the questions of others. Where are they at in this journey in the proximity of death and life? Father, I pray those that are looking upon the great mountain of salvation before them would engage the journey to get up it. And those of us that have started the journey and are on pursuit to ascend the mountain of the Lord, the hill of the Lord, that we would keep our arms stretched out, being willing to take hold of any hand that is asking for help, looking for discipleship and leadership, because we do it under your unction, Holy Spirit. We do it in your power, Lord Jesus. And so we thank you. We thank you, Jesus. When the worship team is done, they're just going to sing a little bit over us just to give you a moment. They'll dismiss you. But feel free to linger. Feel free to stay if you just want to work some things out with the Lord. We can put on some background music. They might even stay on the keys. Ask somebody sitting next to you to pray for you if you just need that extra partnership to steward and disciple that thing that God is setting you free from. Ask for somebody to pray for you if there's an activation necessary to apprehend that promise that you know is rightfully yours. And you feel like you're on the precipice of something that is new and wondrous and glorious. Thank you, Jesus. I just sense even right now, any of you that have lung issues, a tightening of your chest, you just have a hard time breathing, that right now you just take a deep breath. You just breathe in by faith the healing breath of the Lord. And as you breathe out, just every restriction, every hindrance, everything that is tightened, whether physically, spiritually, emotionally, it just go. And that you'd find breathing easier as He heals you, as He touches you, as He increases your capacity to take Him in, to run the race, to fight the good fight, to finish well. Father, we declare we will not be a people who grow weary or who struggle with shortness of breath, but we have endurance. We've increased our capacity to take in the Word of God and to deliver the Word of God. So we thank you for that right now. Physical healing is part of this. Spiritual healing is a part of this. The healing of any soul wounds and soul ties is a part of this. Just being able to breathe in and breathe out. Any of you that have been dealing with chest congestion or just the recent flu and cold that's been going on, again, we just declare that cough has to go. That settling of all that gunk in your chest and your bronchial tubes and just post-nasal drip and all of that, just in the name of Jesus, we command to go right now. That as we walk out of here, Father, we are healthier, stronger, more bold, assured of the foundation, the cornerstone,